Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, sleep and healing the heart after a heart attack.
Yeah, this is a fantastic study. I think it's really fascinating, Pat. So they've studied people who have heart attacks, right? And then if they get a good sleep that goes on for 3 or 4 weeks, like a good night's sleep, the heart heals much more quickly. That was the first part of this.
Now, it's not like a coma. They're waking up and going asleep and waking up and going asleep.
Yeah, the trouble is if you have a heart attack, you end up in the ICU and the lights are very bright
and sleep
is extremely disrupted, which is obvious in a sense. But this really systematic analysis has shown that, what's happening is the heart, amazingly, sends a signal to the brain to say, fall asleep. And then you have a deeper sleep, right? And the brain sends a signal back to the heart to promote healing of the heart. So there's a kind of a loop going on between the heart and the brain. And it's fascinating that the heart would talk to the brain in this way and vice versa, you know?
Now, this is not an electrical signal. It's a chemical signal.
It's a chemical signal, yeah. And that's, for my interest, a cell called a monocyte. Now, the monocyte is an immune cell, which we work on in my lab, actually. That cell goes from the damaged heart up to the brain and enters your brain, goes into your thalamus. Now, the thalamus is what controls sleep. And the monocyte gets the thalamus then to be triggered, and then that promotes restful sleep. So in other words, it's like an evolved mechanism to make sure that you're resting to allow your heart to heal after it's been injured.
So this monocyte is generated in the heart.
Yep.
And is sent up to the brain via the bloodstream.
Exactly.
So it knows where it's going.
It knows where to go. Yeah, that's a really good question about the mechanism there. Something's happening in the brain, obviously, in response to the heart attack as well, that summons the monocyte, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And the monocyte goes all the way up to your brain, and it releases a thing called TNF, a little chemical. And this TNF substance then triggers the thalamus to allow you to go into sleep. And it's called slow-wave sleep. They've measured this in heart attack people. It's slow-wave sleep, a deep type of sleep gets triggered, and then that turns out to be very restorative. And as it's happening, the signal's back into the heart again and promotes the monocyte to heal the heart. So it's a very interesting interconnectedness here between these
now,
things.
How did they study this?
Well, that's the trouble. They did use mice to start with that, but often we use animals,
but
as you know, occasionally.
A good analogue for us.
They're very good.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, they gave mice a heart attack effectively and studied their brains. And they noticed the brains were changing. They noticed the mice brain was going into this slow wave sleep response. And then they wondered what the mechanism was. And they wondered, would it be the immune system? Because the heart is obviously damaged, and you might imagine the immune system gets triggered there. And then they saw these monocytes trafficking up to the brain in the mice. And then, of course, what was very nice was they could stop the monocytes. There's a way of blocking them. You can actually interfere with this process. And guess what? The heart took much longer to heal. And in fact, the risk of a second heart attack is much higher if you don't have this sleep. And it's the same in mice and in humans, and that's been shown as well.
Now, so it began in the mice. Do any experiments with humans?
Well, they could measure 80 people actually were studied who'd had a heart attack. And again, they noticed this slow wave sleep thing in the brains. And then they also had a group who had disrupted sleep versus ones who had good sleep. Some people wouldn't sleep well anyway.
Yeah.
And in those people, the heart took a lot longer to heal. And then secondly, they followed them for 2 years, if you can believe it, 2 years out. Double the risk of another heart attack if you didn't have a good period of 4 to 5 weeks, basically, of sleep after the heart attack. So that supported then the mouse study, and that shows you how robust, I guess, the observation is.
Okay, so even in the days after a heart attack and people are in ICU, it would be important to keep it all nice and quiet and calm.
Yeah, this has been suggested for quite a while, by the way. And in fact, any ICU, as we've just discussed, is a chaotic place. And things like sepsis, for instance, people often end up in the ICU with septic shock. And again, it's been linked to good sleep might help that situation. So there's always been these guidelines to get it a bit calmer in the ICU. And it's very hard because the ICU is a very busy place. But the real bottom line from this is instructing hospitals, be wary of lack of sleep post-coronary. And this may well give rise to a change. In other words, you won't go into the ICU. You might go into a special room where it's a bit darker and calmer, and then your sleep will be encouraged, is the likely
sort of result. Because you've got machinery monitoring you anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
The question then, in other surgeries, does the same mechanism happen? You know, because any surgery would be an attack on the body.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, that's one thing they discuss a lot in the paper, actually. So it looks like as if any injury you have, a good period of sleep will help you heal that injury, basically. And I was just chatting to Dunnock outside there, to be honest.
Yeah, but
he was telling me the New Zealand rugby team, they always make sure they get a good night's sleep. That's one of their things, you know. And possibly it's to help them heal if they've been injured or they strain their muscles when they're playing rugby, obviously, you know. And if you get some good night's sleep, then you might repair that muscle more quickly. So it could be beneficial for sports injuries. But you're right, though. Any injury potentially in the body, it'll benefit if you make sure you get a good night's sleep, because the trick is to get a good sleep, isn't it? Because some people have trouble sleeping.
So this is when people tell you, you know, you need a bit of rest.
Yeah, yeah.
This might be the mechanism which explains why rest alone seems to do the trick.
Yeah, it's anecdotal. We've known this for centuries, haven't we? A good night's sleep is restorative. And it was always a bit anecdotal. But now, there's a mechanism. These monocytes are really important for this response. And now we know why a good night's sleep is beneficial. And when you know the mechanism, then, of course, it's more likely to be true, if you know what I mean. These things are probably correct.
So people who have chronic ailments might benefit from extending their sleep.
They might, yeah. And the second thing is, Pat, a bad night's sleep as well, remember, will increase your blood pressure. That's been shown recently as well. And that was a 12,000 person study, right? And they monitored sleep in people. And they noticed the ones with disrupted sleep had higher blood pressure. Now, because that's the risk factor for heart attack.
Yeah.
So again, it seems to tie into the heart especially. So
now, what about TNF? Is there a market for TNF then, therefore, as a sedative?
Well, the surprising thing in here is it's the immune system. You need monocytes to fight infection.
Yeah.
So what are they doing? This is one question that we're wondering. And you need TNF to boost the immune system in your body anyway. And this seems to be a separate thing in the brain, that TNF in the brain will do this. But of course, the trouble is these things can become dangerous. And if there's too much of them, you tip over into more inflammatory states that are more dangerous. So it's unlikely that we're going to see people injecting TNF into brains at the moment. But certainly if there was a better way, Pat, to get the thalamus working properly. So if some people have trouble sleeping, as we know anyway, after a heart attack, you're probably very stressed. But now we know if you tickle the thalamus, that might be enough to allow you to go into slow wave sleep. And then more importantly, triggers back down to the heart to help the heart start healing itself. So they're talking about stimulating the thalamus.
And would that be external stimulation, like putting an electrode on your head and just give it a little zap before you go to bed at night? And
Elon Musk is all over this, but I bet you with Neuralink, you know, you never know. You might implant something in the thalamus transiently, you know, and tickle that part, or it could be on the skin maybe. But I think it'll have to be deep brain stimulation is the idea. And that might have dangers, of course. But this is the sort of thing that
I consider.
It could
be very useful if you're going to be on one of the Musk craft to Mars.
Exactly.
You have a 6 months sleep.
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, they discussed that in the paper, a commentary on this. This could be a way to crack insomnia. So now that we know this part of the thalamus, if you flip it, you go into slow wave sleep. Why wouldn't all of us have a chance to do that? You can imagine you'll have an implant in your brain. You'll tweak a little device, you know, on your iPhone and now you'll have a snooze. Who knows? That could be the future of this as well. So there's all kinds of consequences.
My goodness. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much. Are you involved in Science Week at all next week?
No, I'm away. Sadly, but I'm going off next week. I'm not here now.
Anyway, it is next week. And as part of the week, Future Proof is coming from the Dublin Royal Convention Centre on Wednesday, the 13th of November at 7 o'clock. It's a Science Week 2024 special in association with Research Ireland. Jonathan McRae and a panel of experts will discuss this: regeneration, the inner world, the outer world and the virtual world. So if you want to register for free tickets, you can do so on newstalk.com/events. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on Newstalk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Len and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.